Welcome to the C3 Church Podcast. Stay tuned for this week's message.
I want to talk to you about a subject today. I love talking about this matter because it's such a church, local church, strengthening, local church building message. And this is one of my most favorite passages in the whole Bible. And the title that we are taking over the next couple of weeks is Thrive. And I would like to think that your life will thrive because you're in the church, because you're in the house of God. And my faith in the church is equal to my faith in the power of Christ to transform a person's life. And I know we'd all say, like, meeting Jesus will transform your life, and it does. It really, really does. Getting baptized in the Spirit will transform your life without any shadow of a doubt. But let me tell you, getting planted in the church will transform your life. And I often would say, like, all I feel I've really got to give is Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and the church. That's all. It's that simple. Anybody can have that to give. But here's the beautiful thing. That's all anybody needs. If Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and the church can't fix it, probably can't be fixed. But there's not a problem beyond what they can fix either. There's nothing beyond the scope of the miraculous power of Christ's death and resurrection, of the Holy Spirit, and of the Word of God to actually fix up, heal, deliver, bring us into a new day. But you know, the church isn't often seen as that. But the way that you tap into the power of the church is through being planted in it. And there's a big difference between being an attender and being a member. An attender, you know, can come along to church services and say, yeah, that's the church I go to. But being a member is, that's a church I'm a part of. I'm baptized. I'm immersed in that house. And every one of us have a place that God has assigned for us on earth. And some of us might like to be in that place or in this place or in that place, but God assigns a place for us. And once we plant ourselves in that, the fruitfulness that He's destined for you and I to have in our world is going to actually take place. Psalm 92 verse 13 says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish, thrive is the word, in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in an old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. I love that. When I get old, I want to be fresh. James Murray thinks that Chris and I sleep inside Tupperware. He says, you're always so fresh and youthful looking. He's a funny man. How terrible would it be to be old and sour and dull and dead and rotting instead of being fresh? Being a flourishing person, even when you're old. Some people think, oh, I'm going to retire, can't do much more now. That's just the time to refire. And I think I'm going to re-flourish. I'm going to actually get going again. So those who are planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish. The word means literally to grow luxuriantly, to thrive, to achieve success, to prosper, to be in a state of activity or production, to reach the height of development or influence. Your maximum potential will be released when you're planted in the house of God. That's when you flourish. You reach the absolute height of what you could develop as in life. Now, the fact is, every tree that's planted in the ground is going to experience at least four different seasons in our world. It's not always going to be the age of springtime when you're budding, new blossoms, and getting ready for summer when you're going to have fruit all over you. Sometimes there's winters, but that is not a reason to become uprooted or destabilized or moved. The whole New Testament, Paul writes to the churches pretty well every letter. He's got encouragement and commands and urgencies about being immovable, being unshakable, being planted, having regularity in your life in more ways than that way. You know, having habits in your world that actually indicate you're planted, not just attending, but you have roots that are going down inside the church, which is basically a network of relationships. And as you survive the different seasons, you're getting yourself ready for springtime. There's going to be winters every year. Everybody in this room is going to have a year that isn't all good. There's going to be seasons which are really, really cold, chilly, not a lot happening on the branches, no leaves even, no fruit, just hanging around. Feels like not a lot's happening. But as your roots remain in the ground, they're getting themselves ready for a season of flourishing, of thriving. And there's not always going to be times when we're thriving, but there's going to be times in different areas of our life where we go through different seasons. I find, like, looking after a movement of churches, some churches are in winter, some are in summer, some are getting blessed, some are going through a tough time, some are having, you know, like a non-event time, it's just business as usual. And the deal is that you and I are called to remain planted no matter what the conditions are around us, because those relationships are going to pay off for us after a period of time. You know, trees, they make the world a beautiful place. I'd like to think that every person in here makes the world a beautiful place. I love trees. If I hadn't met Jesus, I'd probably be a tree worshiper. You know, when I park my car out here, ever since we started this church, some of you will remember when we came up from the warehouse in Brookvale and we all planted a tree, our tree. I'm not sure if your tree's growing, but mine out there in front of my car, I don't know if you've seen that huge thing. Well, that was a tree about that big when we first came here. And I talked to my tree. Hey, buddy, you're looking good. And I go up there, I put my hands on it, say, oh, I like it. Even touching a tree, it's kind of cool, you know. And I talk to them. I've talked to sick trees, and a few years later, they've died. You know, they get healed. Hey, I know you think I'm weird. Go talk about it to Jesus. He'll just tell you, well, I talked to trees myself. He did. But he said kind of, you know, he just knocked one right out of the tree business. And said, no, you're not going to work anymore. But if he spoke to that one well, I'm sure he spoke to a few others and encouraged them, you know. Said, hey, you're doing good. And the thing is, trees get to be beautiful. You, as people trees, get to be beautiful because we talk to one another nicely. We talk to one another with encouragement. I even hug trees. You can hug one another. You're hugging like a tree in the house of God. The two trees in this particular psalm are palm trees and cedars. Palm trees grow straight up. Integrity, trustworthy, reliable. They're straight up. Not bent, crooked, and all that. That's hang around. And the wind only makes those guys stronger. When those desert winds blow, they're right over there, just come straight back up, boing. And as winds come into your life, you remain planted, you'll find you just get stronger. You just get more unshakable, less movable. The second tree is a cedar tree, which smells absolutely gorgeous. Incredible. Beautiful, beautiful smell. As a tree, you want to have a nice smell about you. You don't want to be smelling like a sour thing or anything, but people enjoy the smell when you walk in the room. You have a fragrance about you. And these grow huge. They're called the king of the forest. Cedars are magnificent. They're the king of trees. And spread out their leaves broad and wide. And they are insect repellent, disease repellent, light wood, easy to work with. All kinds. They're just beautiful trees. You, like these trees, planted in the house of God, make the world a beautiful place. Let me say it again. I'm as convinced about being planted in the house as a life-transforming factor in our life as receiving Christ for salvation. When people are planted in the house of God, the changes that take place in them, the fruitfulness that starts to come out of their life is absolutely astronomical. You know, my conviction is that in my whole life and our whole life is given to the growth, the expansion, the building of the church, Jesus' local church all around the world. And we will give ourselves to that to our dying breath because of the power of the church. And I'm talking about a supernatural power. It's not just an organization that you turn up to and have some services on Sunday. It's a network of relationships that have a supernatural power about them that contains God. It's God's address on earth. When those relationships are put together in harmony, and I'm telling you, the devil will try and create as much disharmony and division as he can, because that weakens the power of the church united. And so all of us have to have a commitment on the inside to pursue harmony in our relationships. And I don't know about you, but you know, it's not always easy. I mean, I've been married for 42 years. My wife isn't here this morning, so I better not say too much. But, you know, sometimes like you got to live above the challenges that are going on and just carry on living, because you know that if you decide to have a deep and meaningful about, you know, when you said that, and you know, I just need you to know how I'm feeling about, you know, don't go there. That'll make it worse. Just like sometimes you got to deal with stuff. You got to sit down and confront it and bring it in the light, you know, if it's really that, but not everything. You know the way you folded that tea towel? Don't go there. Can I talk to you about the way you're squeezing the tooth? But don't go there. Get a little bigger, you know, and float above it, and your negative emotion will fade away, and then you're back in the love zone. Amen. Marriage counseling. It's gone too quiet in here. I really should stick with the message, shouldn't I? Hey, preacher, you stick with your message this morning. All right, I hear you. Okay, so the thing is, though, maintaining that unity is an effort. Love is work. It's not like it just happens. Love is work. And keeping ourselves as a bunch of trees all in the forest, swinging in the same wind is really important. Now, in building the church, there's a lot of factors that make it grow. A lot of factors. But I want to identify one major factor here, as opposed to us relying on just one or two other factors. Now, in this church, we have unbelievable preaching. I know, you know, I know you realize that. Yeah, but you know, and I'm not kind of preaching. I'm sort of teaching our way through a subject that is really important, because I want you to thrive, and I know how you can get there. I know how it can happen. But even though we have awesome preachers, I mean, right across this front row here, there are amazing ministries, preachers, people. Yeah, I mean, and it's a deep front row. Like, we have people all over the world preaching right now. Jake Bellums and Jamie Malcolm is off every second weekend. We've got all these other guys. Like, Mark was in the Philippines last weekend. Bernadette was in New Zealand, spoke 27,000 times at a conference. And I was in, you know, to tell you the truth, I can't remember ever hearing a complaint about the preaching in this church. Don't start. Not an opportunity, you know, but the deal is, but I got to tell you, great preaching isn't the only factor. Like, come on, that church, you're going to love the preaching. You know, it's like, it can be a helping factor in the growth of the church. But I know some guys who got great churches, huge churches. They really, you know, you wouldn't call them spellbinding. You know, even less than ordinary. And you're going like, wow. It doesn't actually depend on having a huge talent in a pulpit every Sunday for a church to grow. That's what I'm just saying to you. The second thing is, worship is really important. From my point of view, probably almost at the top of the list, that we have a really amazing worship experience every time we gather together. And we got an awesome worship team who actually take us into that place. Yeah. They're amazing. And, you know, we would hardly ever hear any complaints about it, but it's a great thing. You know, come on, that's just so amazing, the worship. You know, it's incredible. Here's the deal, though. You know, not all churches in the world that are large actually have incredible worship experiences. I've been in some, I think it's a mystery to me. So putting our faith solely in those two areas is actually a little misplaced. The one thing, the one universal factor of every growing, thriving church that I'm aware of in the world, and I've been in two conferences in the last 2 years, which is capped at 100 ministers from around the world who've been invited to get together, and every single one of them have small groups all through their churches. They have a network of relationships where people discover what it is to be in friendship and fellowship with one another. And that is where I want to go this morning, that being planted in the house of the Lord is actually being planted in a network of relationships. But not just the relationships you hook up with on a Sunday, but in small group all through the week. Now, let me talk about this. In Ephesians 4:16, it says, from whom the whole body joined and knit together, joined and knit together, joined and knit together. Yeah, joined and knit together. How we knit together, by what each of you supply. Every one of you in this room have a gift, beautiful gift inside of you. It's manifested when we are joined together. According to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Okay, so here's the thing. This is saying, for me to discover what I have to supply and what I can receive from others, I need to be connected. Now, in my world, amongst pastors, there's often things that happen, difficult situations, just the same as in church life, that you got to navigate, and you need to keep talking and communicating with people to try and get to the other side, rather than react and get an attitude and say, well, we're never going to hang out with them again. I realize that my destiny, what God has got planned for me, is not inside me. That's the biggest challenge. I've got to be joined with certain people, and there are certain people that I recognize are divinely appointed connections, divinely arranged connections that God has put into my life. That these are people that, there's a resonance, a bell rings on the inside every time I see them. It doesn't happen with everybody, but there are some people that you know it's important. There's a divinity in it. And what God joins together, let not man put asunder. Relates more than just a marriage. But also, there are people that just out of sheer rightness, that it's the right thing to remain in. Like for me, pastors in this city and other ministers around the globe that God has connected, I realize that the devil would love to dilute the destiny of the church by dividing those people who are meant to be joined together. And so when those things come, I recognize, man, I want to keep that connection alive because they got 90% of my destiny in them. They got pieces of my puzzle inside them. And if we get cut off, the pieces of the puzzle that they got for my life are never going to be realized. And I have had so many experiences of that nature when I have remained in connection, remained in fellowship with some people, and then somewhere down the line, they just say, oh, I'd like you to meet this guy. And that opens up a whole new world of opportunities and potential, which never would have happened if I had actually let that relationship die. And so God works through relationships. He has never called any of us on our own. He has always called us with other people. He has never sent us on our own. He has always sent us with other people. I so wish he hadn't done it like that sometimes, but he has. And that means you got to actually make the things work. They don't just happen. They work because you do stuff. Now, I want to give you three ways to create those joints. It's kind of a wrong word, I know. To create those connections. All right. Number one, this is phenomenal. I've called it hospitality, but I want to reduce it down a whole lot further than that. The best way for you to connect with anyone in the whole world, this is really for deep people, this what I'm about to say here. You got to eat together. When you have connect groups, eat something together. You know, I'm shocked at how often Jesus eats. I know we see him working miracles and teaching and raising the dead, but he eats so much. He's always eating. You know, like even when he's raised from the dead. Like Bernadette says, what's he doing? He's on the beach cooking fish. And even while he's cooking fish, he says, hey, you guys got anything to eat? He walks in, you know, all the disciples go, oh, we close the door. The authorities are after us. Jesus walks in the room somehow through the door. You know what he says? First thing, got anything to eat? How cool is that? He didn't come in with theology, oh, behold me. I am the risen one from the dead. Let angels sing, let choruses chorus. And no, he says, hey, you guys, got anything to eat? Hungry raised Jesus. It's awesome. You know, the first miracle, he was at a wedding. They ran out of wine. He says, oh, that's no good. Let's get some. Amen. Yeah, I want to eat. You know what he does just before he's going to the cross? He said, I've got a worst day of my life. Hey, what do we do? Let's eat. Let's have a thing called the Last Supper. Just get some food. Let's hang out, eat. He loves eating. You know what? Okay, so he comes back out of heaven, ba-boom, trumpet, blah, blah, the shout of the archangel, ah! Everyone, boom, off we go in the rapture. First thing we're going to do when we get there, let's eat. Woo! Marriage supper of the Lamb. Why? Because it connects you. When you start eating with people, you connect with them. I know it's all been kind of slightly hilarious, but I like to, you know, I mean, you know, it is astonishing that so many things happen when he actually got into a home and he started eating with people. That's when he did all his deep teaching. Three chapters in John around that meal. Incredible. You know, in the New Testament, when it says they broke bread from house to house, Acts 2 verse 46, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Now here's the thing, the Lord can bring in people, but whether they get added is whether you will eat with them. So I think the Lord is always bringing people in and bringing people to be added. But the adding process is by kind of eating with each other. And it's the most natural thing on earth to go home after you've been in church and eat with somebody. I find it's a weird feeling going home from church and just sitting down at home. What are you going to do? You're going to do Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or TV? Or read a book or something. But it's not half as good as fellowship. Eating together. In October this year, Dr. Cho has asked me to be one of the speakers in their Olympic Stadium event. There'll be like between 120 to 150,000 people. Boom. Like that. Been in that event several times before. Been there speaking. And it's phenomenal. Been in a lot of situations around the world, speaking to leaders and all that kind of, and they're great. Doesn't even match anywhere near preaching in Oxford Falls on a Sunday morning every week, you know. Nothing like that. Or speaking to change on a Wednesday night, amen, or the youth or on the Bible college here at Oxford. You know, yeah, that's a given. You know, that is an amazing, there's some amazing experiences, but I got to tell you, sitting down with some brothers, fellows in the ministry, or husbands and wives, sitting down for 3-4 hours, eating some food, easily as good. I enjoy that just as much. I mean, this last week, we went out to Hillsong for a few sessions, and Mark was driving me out. You know, it was amazing. Just wonderful, wonderful times there. But, you know, sitting in the car with Mark, we can't stop, you know, you kind of wish it was further away or something, you know, like, because there's something about fellowship that is extremely nurturing extremely feeding when you get together with people who are on the same page and you're in the same mind and you're in the same vision. And it's such a rarity in the world. And in fact, let me say this to you. I think it's one of the deep aches that people search for before they meet Christ, but it can only be found in Christ, that you actually get a thing called fellowship. It's not even just friendship. It's a deeper level of koinonia, is the Greek word, where there's a sharing of spiritual life together and we actually feed each other's soul. And when you get out and you eat with one another in your connect groups or just in connecting with people, you will actually not only connect them, but yourself to each other and to the house of God. So here's the $60 million question. Who are you taking out for lunch today? Just going to let it be awkward for a few moments. Have you thought of somebody yet? I kind of half and half. I do things spontaneously and I do things sometimes planned. But try and plan on a regular basis that after church you just take somebody out. About, you know, there's some new people here today. What an awesome thing. Say, hey, I rebuke any clickiness in this church. Amen. I rebuke all the walls and all the, you know. Some churches have a DNA course. I don't have one of those because I don't want to define it because anybody's welcome here. You don't have to be of a particular style, background, or anything else. It's the house of God is for all nations. It's for absolutely everybody. And hospitality literally means the love of strangers. People that you've not met before. People who are new to the game. So let me ask you again. On the way out today, why don't you hook up with somebody, go to a cheap place. You don't have to spend heaps of money. It's not about the high, any, you know, it's not about that. It's about just hanging out together. In fact, sometimes people take me to, they say, oh, we want to take you to this really fancy pants place. I go, oh, no, let's not go there. Let's go to this place. They want to go to a private dining room. Oh, don't go there. Let's hang out in the middle. I like it. Just Kaz and, you know, like, great place. I can recommend you some restaurants here, but there's one down on the DY there on the corner. He's looking at me right now, the owner of it, but I better not start advertising businesses or else I'll be getting a little text. Can you say something about my business? We have some great restaurant owners in the church, you know, but find out about them. Amen. Go bless them and leave a tip. All right. Yeah, let's move on. Too much awkwardness this morning, amen. Number two, acts of kindness. Add to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. Kindness is not regarded as love. It's a different expression of love. And I sometimes don't even like to say, oh, you know, love one another, because it's too big, it's like, it's too vague. But be kind to one another can actually bring it down to a real life-giving, you know, moment. Like, think about how you can connect with your neighbors. You know that piece of lawn that's in front of their house? And you go, boom, and you stop just there, right? You go, you got this much, but this is law. Why don't you just go and mow? Just go ahead, just mow the thing. You know, when they're painting on this, and you don't even like the color of the paint, you know, you can help them. An act of kindness is more powerful than a miracle in opening a heart to Christ. And all of us can do acts of kindness. Get out of our own self-oriented world and just try and help somebody. If they go to hospital, go visit them, read a book to them, remember their birthday, whatever, write a card, little note. All the things that are little acts, not thoughts, acts. The thought doesn't count. The act counts. You got to do it. Take some time out of your schedule. Include others in your world, especially strangers. All right. You know, I got a lot of quotes in there, but I want to keep moving to make sure I get to cover this last point. The third point, three points on how you join and connect to grow the church, to cause the house of God to expand when we're relying not just on preaching, not just on worship, which are all awesome things in the growth of the church, but on these three things: hospitality, eating together, acts of kindness, helping other people out. The third thing is connect groups, actually being regularly in a group, a smaller group of people that you're going to have a closer relationship with. I mean, sometimes people use the word more intimate relationship. I don't like that word in there because it's kind of a bit spooky for men. But it's just closer, okay? It's just closer, guys. And you get to know people. And you get around some guys or around some other people that you don't know. And you can start to grow together in the house of the Lord. I mean, even your prayers. Jesus did not teach us to pray "My Father." He taught us to pray "Our Father." In Acts 2:42, it says, "They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine." That means they devoted themselves. They devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine and to fellowship. And that fellowship, koinonia, can also be translated partnership. That you're like partners together, even though it's not a business partnership. It is a spiritual partnership that you and I have together to reach this city for Christ. And as we're combined and united in that same goal, we start to work together in a magnificent way. The greatest example of that I can think of is in Mark chapter 2, verse 3, which I'm going to preach out of tonight, in tonight's service. "Then they came to him bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men." Four men brought one man. That to me looks like a connect group. They work like a team. One of them was a leader, said, "I got an idea. Let's take this friend of ours who can't move to Jesus." He had the vision. He had the goal. Another one was like a helper. He said, "I'll find a stretcher." So he found the stretcher. Another one was administration. They had strategy. They said, "We can't get in that way. Let's try that way." So the strategist was innovative. He thought of different ways of actually getting the guy in to what they were going to do. And the other guy, well, he was just every one of us. Amen. He was just a whoever. But they worked together, carrying somebody who needed help all the way into the house of God. What a beautiful thing for a little connect group of four people to turn up here with a friend and sit with them at men's conference or tonight at church or next week on Sunday mornings. You know, here we are with our friend, bringing people, like Bernadette was saying, bring some. The greatest thing we can bring together into the house of God and have that as our focus in our connect groups is people to Christ. Bring them into the house of God. I want all the connect group leaders and their assistants to stand up right now. Would you just stand up? These guys are the backbone of our church. I want you to give them a big hand, would you? Thank you. These are their names up behind me. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people all throughout church, young, old, all kinds, doing this amazing work for God. I want to pray for you. Stay standing. In the name of Jesus, Heavenly Father, empower every one of our Connect Group leaders to be powerful men and women of God with wisdom in their mind, unction in their spirit, power in their heart, to pour out over the people in their connect group, not only to do that, but to multiply those connect groups again and again and again, so that this whole city is filled with people gathering together, sharing the word, eating together, praying together, worshiping together, bringing Christ to people and people to Christ. In Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said, amen.
Thanks for listening to the C3 Church Podcast. Visit us online at myc3church.net. Join us next time for more great teaching.